Hope everyone's doing well. I'm going to do this evening what most people want the preacher to do: stand up, speak up, and sit down. Feel like an amen on that one. When you're looking in the Old Testament, you look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and following, you see the church being prophesied by Daniel hundreds of years prior to the church coming into existence. Then as you continue to turn through the Bible and you turn to Matthew chapter 16, 18, going downward, you find Jesus there in the region of Caesarea Philippi. As you talk with those that were following him, he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they gave several answers. And then later on, in that same situation, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded by saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. And what you have there is Jesus making promise that he will establish his church. And then as you open the book of Acts, turn to Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem, wait there on high, and power from high will come above to them. And they went on to Jerusalem. They waited there for Jesus. And in Acts chapter 2, what you find there in Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the church. Throughout the book of Acts, you can find and read about the activities of the early church and the great things that the apostles did and taught. Now, there's been a lot of books written about the New Testament church and about New Testament Christianity. There's been a lot of books written about the early church. If I can remember right, I think my mind served me right. Earl West, who had a series of books called In Search of the Ancient Order. I think that was it. It was many years ago when I read those books. But there's been other books written. But one of the, probably the greatest book to go to find out the activities of the early church and the apostles and those who had became members of the early church would be the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, start verse 41, going down, you see that they were steadfast in fellowship and apostles' doctrine and prayer and breaking bread. And you go down to verse 47, you see that those who, that there was, in verse 47, you see that they were added to church. But as you read through the book of Acts, you see all the things that the church was doing and all the things that they was going through. You see the works of the apostles and what they taught and the troubles that they had, the opposition that they had. So this evening, for just a little bit, we're going to look in Acts chapter 5. I would want to believe that most of you all have read Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, it starts out with Ananias and Sapphira. After their death, great fear came upon the people. And then you keep on reading. You find Peter and John, you find them out teaching. What happened next? They're out teaching. Then they're taken, placed in jail. While being in jail, an angel appeared to them and had them released. Come the next morning, the high council, Sadducees, and all the priests, they sent for Peter and the apostles to be taken out before them. But when they arrived there to the jail, they find the door still shut securely and the guard standing there, but no one on the inside. And you look at verse number 20 of Acts chapter 5. The angel told them, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Now, wait a minute now. I've been taken. I've been placed in prison. Now I'm released. It's time to leave town, isn't it? They didn't do that. They go right back out to the temple early in the morning, And they began to teach. So we'll pick up at verse 25 in Acts chapter 5. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 29 is where we're going to focus at. Here we have Peter and the apostles. They've been released, but they stayed focused. They went right back out there being obedient to the word of God and went right back to teaching. Now they're taken before the high council again. And they ask them a question. Didn't we tell you not to teach this? You've already filled Jerusalem with your teaching, trying to bring this man's blood on our hands. But the answer that was given in verse 29 is where we're going to focus at. There's about three lessons from this one little verse that we're going to try to bring out. The answer, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Point number one is that they were of one mind. The apostles there, said Peter and the other apostles, they were of one mind. They didn't disagree. They were of one mind. And one that said, maybe you're right. Or maybe we shouldn't be teaching this. Maybe we should move on down. Or one that said, maybe we'll teach it later on in some other place. They were of one mind. They spoke the same thing. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of pressure, maybe even in the midst of being beaten or maybe even dying, they stood together and they spoke the same thing. They was of one mind. Maybe there's a lesson there for you and I. Learning from the apostles, that they spoke the same thing. They was of one mind. Do you agree that that's part of what have caused such a mess in religion? And that's what have caused such a mess in the Lord's church. Is that you have good, strong, faithful brethren teaching the necessity of baptism, teaching that the Bible does not condone instrumental music, and you have good, strong, faithful brethren teaching the right thing on marriage and divorce. And on the other hand, there are the brethren who's members of the Lord church teaching just the opposite. Ought not be that way. Lesson from the apostles. They was of one mind. They was of one mind. Think about the example that the Lord's church can be to the world, being of one mind. Teaching what the scripture says. Because it confuses people when they go to the Lord's church and hear one thing and go to another Lord's church and hear something else. Ought not be that way on the same subject. Learning from the apostles, we learn here that they were of one mind. Peter and the apostles spoke up. They agreed. We ought to obey God rather than men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, find the apostle
Paul teaching to the church at Corinth. He says, start verse number 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, speaking different things bring forth division. Paul encouraged the church, or rather command the church there, be of the same mind. If you go on and read the rest of it, you will see what Psalm said. I'm of Paul, I'm of Silas, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. He says right here, be of the same mind, of the same judgment. Speak the same thing. We find here the apostles in Acts chapter 5 being of the same mind. They were of one mind. When confronted by the council, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What a great lesson there to be learned. Is it possible for the church to speak the same thing? Is it possible for the Lord's church to teach and speak the same thing and be of one accord? We all have the same Bible. It's possible. When you read 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man speak, speak that which has been spoken. There it is, right there. If we're going to be of the same mind, we have to speak the same thing that comes from the scriptures. And therefore, we can be like the apostles. We can learn that lesson, and we can speak same thing. They were of the same mind. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. And Titus chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Paul tells Titus to speak and teach the things that are for sound doctrine, things of a proper, healthy doctrine. If brothers preach and teach things that are sound and healthy, then all their brethren will be teaching the same thing. Isn't that what we find with the apostles throughout New Testament teachings? They spoke and taught same thing. In Acts chapter 5, when confronted by the council, they were of one mind, of one mind. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They knew what they believed. They was on the same page. Taught the same thing. They were of one mind. Going along with 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we could take Colossians 3, 17. Speaks about whatsoever you do in word or in deed. Do all by the authority of Jesus. See, if the things that we teach and things that we do are authorized by the word of God, authorized by Jesus, then everything that the Lord's church are doing would be the same thing when it comes to doctrinal matters. You know, you and I may not agree on the color of the carpet. I probably could have some other ideas about what color I'll paint this building, or maybe what color I'll have the carpet, but that's okay. We still can be friends. You know, you and I may talk about evangelism. Oh, you know, Robin may feel that best to hang them on the door. I may feel it best to knock on the door and talk to the people. And Richard may have other ideas, mailing them out. But that's okay. As long as we stay within the realms of the authority of the scriptures. But when it comes to spiritual matters, doctrinal things, we need to be speaking. Same thing. Excellent lesson we find here from the apostles.
They were of one mind. You know, it's kind of sad because when you pass by or you hear about a congregation of the Lord's church, you wonder, first thing pop in your mind, I wonder what they believe in. 50 years ago, probably was somewhat different. When you was traveling, you could stop and worship most any place. Things have changed along the way. Our brethren are speaking different things. Ought not be that way. Learn from the apostles, for they were of one mind. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, you find another example. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, you find the apostles out teaching and healing. They've been arrested, so you pick up there at verse number 18. It says, so they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Once more again, the unity there. Do you see it? Amongst the disciples, amongst the apostles. They weren't split on what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't split on what they were supposed to be teaching. They were of one mind. Learning from the apostles. The unity that they had there, being of one mind. You know, unity is a great thing. Most time you quote that verse in Psalms 133, verse 1 through 2. In that verse, there's a couple of things to look at. It talks about behold, which teaches that unity is something to take notice of. And then it goes on, it talks about how good and pleasant it is. Unity is good and pleasant. I've been in a congregation where I worship and where I preached that there wasn't any unity there. There was problems and trouble going constantly. And it wasn't pleasant. Last of all, in those verses in Psalms 133, 1 through 2, it talks about how precious it is. Unity is precious. Unity in truth is precious. And by having unity in truth, it's so precious that we become a great example to the world and you can accomplish much more. There we see the apostles that when they stood before the council, they were of one mind. They knew what they believed in. And they stayed lit. Going back to Acts chapter 5, there's another lesson from that verse. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What else can I find here? What else I see here is that they were steadfast. That they were steadfast. I don't know how I would have reacted back then. I've been placed in prison. I'm free now. Maybe I would have left town. I don't know. Maybe I would have found somewhere else that was more receptive to the gospel. Less friction, less resistance. But what you find here is that these men were steadfast. When you think of the word steadfast in the Greek language is carried with it the idea of immovable, firm, settled, stationary, stand fast. Do you see it there? And these men, they held their ground. They knew the power of the Jewish leaders. They knew what could have happened to them. But they were steadfast. They held the ground. They didn't run away. They didn't go out and hide. They didn't change what they was preaching. They were firm in their belief. They took a stand. And they stood there and held their grounds as a good soldier. And that's what God wants you and I to do. In the midst of ridicule, in the midst of being left alone at times, sometimes, in the midst of people laughing at us and calling us legalistic, we need to hold our grounds. We need to be firm and stand there and be steadfast, just as we learned from the apostles. What a great statement they make. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They had made their minds up. They were going to be settled. They weren't going anywhere. The lesson we learn here from them is that they were steadfast. In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, encouraging them, he said at verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul encouraged them and commanded them to be steadfast, immovable, the work of the Lord. Being firm. Being solid. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1, Paul refers to those at Philippi as being steadfast. Some Bible may read stand fast. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul have talked about the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Now he drops down to verse number 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. It picks up and says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Paul encouraged and teach the church at Ephesus not to be tossed here and there, to be firm. Stand on the doctrine. Hold on to the truth. If you stand by yourself, hold on to it. Told them they shouldn't be tossed here and there. You know, and I know, you may have met someone who today they believe this, tomorrow they believe that, today they believe this, next they believe something else. Really don't know what they believe in. Those who are steadfast, they understand the scriptures and they hold on to what the scripture says, regardless whether you lose friends, regardless. That's what I learned here from the apostles. In Jerusalem, they weren't there to make friends. They were there to speak the word of God. They weren't there to be smoothsayers. They weren't there to pat the Jews on the back and say, it's okay, you all gonna make it too. They were there to obey God and to teach his word. And you see them being steadfast in that they held their ground, they were firm, and they let the people know that we ought to obey God rather men. Have you ever thought about that word ought? O-U-G-T-H. Ever thought about the word ought? Have you ever thought about the word ought there? Took a little time to look the word up. And the word carries with it the concept of necessary. Carries with it the concept of must. Carries with the concept of something need to do. Or rather have to do. See, they knew what they had to do. to obey God. They were steadfast. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, Philippians chapter 5, we look at that verse, Philippians 5, verse 11, and read, "And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And we take that verse and we teach that, you know, you shouldn't have fellowship with those in error. Expose them, which is true. But what else I see in doing so, I see steadfastness. The man who stands up and say he will not have fellowship with those workers of darkness and expose them. The Christian who does that is the Christian who is steadfast, holding his grounds. The apostles never compromised, never went along with any false teaching of that time. They were firm. They held their grounds. Maybe you and I can learn from this. Hopefully we can learn that we ought to be steadfast too, even when it means we might become a few numbers, maybe even 10, 5, whatever the case may be. Maybe even you mean you might be by yourself sometime. But you're going to be steadfast and hold on to what the Bible teaches. It's a sad thing to look around the brotherhood and see what's going on, and that there's so many congregations at one given time some years back you would have considered them somewhat faithful, but they've changed. Some have changed because of the desire to be big, want to be large, therefore going to compromise, not going to be steadfast according to the word of God. I'm going to change somewhat. Some have turned their back and become unfaithful because they want to be a group that speaks smooth things. Things that won't offend anyone, things that won't hurt people's feelings, and therefore we'll skip over a lot of things in the scripture and we'll be okay. But you won't be steadfast and firm in the word of God. In some cases, there are men who are preaching for various congregations. Some congregations are very large. They're making a whole lot of money. I don't know whether you've taken the time to investigate. I've checked some things out. Well, I'm not talking no $30,000 and $40,000. I'm talking a whole lot of money. And these men have no desire now to turn around and correct the things that they have taught and be steadfast in the word of God. Instead, they continue their course, and all those who follow them on this slow boat drifting off to hell. Nothing like the apostles. They weren't in it for money. The apostles wasn't in it for big crowds. They weren't trying to be popular. They was in it to be obedient to God. What a great statement made there. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Not only do we learn that they were steadfast, third and last lesson we can learn from this passage is that the apostles, that they were concerned about pleasing God. That's the bottom line, isn't it? That they were concerned about pleasing God. They were of one mind. They were steadfast. They held the grounds. And last of all, they were concerned about pleasing God. They had their priorities right. Maybe they understood Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They were concerned about pleasing God. And that should be not most of you and I. That should be on our minds, that we are concerned not about pleasing our friends, not about pleasing the neighborhood, not about pleasing some other congregation in the neighborhood, but we should be concerned about pleasing God. For see, it's God who has appointed his son Jesus to judge us on the day of judgment. Oh, what a great lesson the apostles taught here, that they were concerned about pleasing God. For they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. No compromising there. They was focused. They knew who they served. They knew who they want the approval of. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, start at verse number 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul instructs the church at Colossae to have the priorities right, to think on things above, spiritual things, things that cause their lives to be presented before God, a life that's pleasing. But when you flip back to Colossians chapter 1, start at verse number 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul says to the church at Colossae, I'm praying for you all that you have wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy before the Lord, pleasing him. Seemed to be Paul was concerned by the church at Colossae walk before the Lord to have the approval not of man, but the approval of God. Isn't that what we see with the apostles? They was concerned about pleasing God. In the book of Jeremiah is a passage I tend to believe most people know. In Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, starting at verse number 16, listen to what the people say. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. They were instructed to follow ways of God. Hold on to it. Turn back and hold on and follow the words of God. Instead, they said, we will not follow it. They weren't concerned about pleasing God, were they? It seemed to be they were concerned about pleasing themselves and being a lot like those around them. Sometimes God's people get that way. Sometimes God's people get so changed by the world that we get in this mode where we want to be like the world, we want to have the acceptance of the world, we want to have the approval of the world, we want to live like the world, and we lose sight of pleasing God. We become unpleasing unto God. The apostles, they had a good understanding of who they served. They had a good understanding of their mission in life. They understood that they should obey God. They was concerned about pleasing God rather than men. When the Lord's church get to the point where we are concerned about pleasing men rather than God, we're on the wrong path. Let's learn from the apostles. Let's learn from this great statement they make here in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." By this one statement, we've seen that the apostles were of one mind, and we ought to be of one mind too when it comes to spiritual things. We've learned that they were steadfast, they were firm, they were immovable, they were settled. We ought to be the same way. Thirdly, we've learned that they was concerned not about pleasing those around them, nor were they concerned about pleasing the high council, the Sadducees, the high priest, all the religious leaders of that time. They was concerned about pleasing God by the very words they said, that we ought to obey God rather than man. As we close, look at Revelation chapter 22. Book of Revelation chapter 22. Should be a very comforting verse. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." That should be our goal, that we want to enter into the eternal city. But in this verse, you see those who keep his commandments, those who are obedient, those who are following his words. You may be here this evening as a Christian, and there are some areas in your life that God commanded you to do, and you just turn your back on them, that you're just outright sinning. You need to repent. Turn away from it. Correct it. And do the right thing. Being here this afternoon and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're in disobedience to God. And if you don't change and do the right thing, you're not going to be in that city, the eternal city, heaven. But you can, by being obedient to the gospel, by believing the things that you've heard, or repenting, confessing, and being baptized, having your sins washed away, starting a new life, living your life following the commandments of God, so that at the very end that you can enter into that glorious city, eternal place, heaven. You stop and you think about it as we sing this song. If I remember right, "Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not make that decision to correct some things in your life? Why not tonight decide to obey the gospel? Why not tonight get yourself on the right path so you can too walk in that glorious city where life goes on and on and on. Enjoy the saints." Let's sing.